Chapter 82. First Lady, 10 in the morning, madam. You forget you asked the same, but a brief while ago. Josephine, did I? I thought it was so long ago, I wished to go to Elba with him so much, but the Allies prevented me. And why? I would not have disgraced him, or themselves. I would have gone to him at Fontainebleau, with my 8 horses and my household train and dignity, and quitted him no more. Although I am his wife no longer now, I think I should have gone in spite of him, had I not feared perversions might be sown between him, and the woman of his choice for whom he sacrificed me. Second Lady, it is more than she thought fit to do, Your Majesty. Josephine, perhaps she was influenced by her father's ire, or diplomatic reasons told against her. And yet I was surprised she should allow aught secondary on earth to hold her from a husband as he has outwardly, at least, declared attachment to. First Lady, especially, with everyone at hand his son and hers reminding her of him. Josephine, yes. Glad am I saw that child of theirs, though only once. But there was not full truth, not quite, I fear in what I told the Emperor, that day he led him to me at Bagatelle, that was the happiest moment of my life. I ought not to have said it. No. Forsooth my feeling had too much gall in it to let truth shape like that. I also said that, when my arms were round him, I forgot that I was not his mother. So spoke I, but oh me, I remembered it too well. He was a lovely child. In his fond prate his father's voice was eloquent. One might say I am well punished for my sins against him. Second Lady, you have harmed no creature, madam, much less him. Josephine, oh but you don't quite know. My coquetries in our first married years nigh racked him through. I cannot think how I could wax so wicked. He begged me come to him in Italy, but I liked flirting in fair Paris best, and would not go. The independent spouse at that time was myself, but afterwards I grew to be the captive, he the free. Always 'tis so. The man wins finally. My faults I've ransomed to the bottom sue, if ever a woman did. I'll write to him I must again, so that he understands. Yes, I'll write now. Get me a pen and paper. First Lady to Second Lady, 'tis futile. She is too far gone to write, but we must humor her. They fetch writing materials. On returning to the bed they find her motionless. Enter Eugene and Queen Hortense. Seeing the state their mother is in, they fall down on their knees by her bed. Josephine recognizes them and smiles. Anon she is able to speak again. Josephine, faintly, I am dying, dears, and do not mind it notwithstanding, that I feel I die regretted. You both love me. And as for France, I ever have desired her welfare, as you know, have wrought all things a woman's scope could reach to forward it. Unto you now who watch my ebbing here, declare I that Napoleon's first chose wife has never caused her land a needless tear. Tell him these things I have said, bear him my love, tell him I could not write. An interval. She spasmodically flings her arms over her son and daughter, lets them fall, and becomes unconscious. They fetch a looking glass, and find that her breathing has ceased. The clock of the chateau strikes noon. The scene is veiled. Scene V, London. The opera house, the house is lighted up with a blaze of wax candles, and a state performance is about to begin in honor of the Allied sovereigns now on a visit to England to celebrate the peace. Peace devices adorn the theater. A band can be heard in the street playing the White Cockade. An extended royal box has been formed, by removing the partitions of adjoining boxes. It is empty as yet, but the other parts of the house are crowded to excess, and somewhat disorderly, the interior doors having been broken down by besiegers, and many people having obtained admission without payment. The prevalent costume of the ladies is white satin and diamonds, with a few in lilac. The curtain rises on the first act of the opera of Ristadimo, Madame Grassini and Signor Tramezzini being the leading voices. Scarcely a note of the performance, could be heard amid the exclamations of persons half suffocated by the pressure. At the end of the first act there follows a divertissement. The curtain having fallen, a silence of expectation succeeds. It is a little past 10 o'clock. Enter the royal box the Prince Regent, accompanied by the Emperor of Russia, demonstrative in manner now as always, the King of Prussia, with his mien of reserve, and many minor royal personages of Europe. There are moderate acclamations. At their back and in neighboring boxes Lord Liverpool, Lord Castlereagh, officers in the suite of the sovereigns, interpreters, and others take their places. The curtain rises again, and the performers are discovered drawn up in line on the stage. They sing, God Save the King. The sovereigns stand up, bow, and resume their seats amid more applause. A voice from the gallery, Prinny, where's your wife? Confusion. Emperor of Russia to Regent, to which of us is the inquiry addressed, Prince? Prince Regent, to you, sire, depend upon by way of compliment. The second act of the opera proceeds. Emperor of Russia, any later news from Elba, sir? Prince Regent, nothing more than rumors, which, upon my honor, I can hardly credit. One is that Bonaparte's valet has written to say the ex-emperor is becoming imbecile, and is an object of ridicule to the inhabitants of the island. King of Prussia, a blessed result, sir, if true. If he is not imbecile, he is worse planning how to involve Europe in another way. It was a short-sighted policy to offer him a home so near as to ensure its becoming a hotbed of intrigue and conspiracy in no long time. Prince Regent, the ex-empress, Marie-Louise, hasn't joined him after all, I learn. Has she remained at Schönbrunn since leaving France, sires? Emperor of Russia, yes, sir, with her son. She must never go back to France. Metternich and her father will know better than let her do that. Poor young thing, I am sorry for her all the same. She would have joined Napoleon, if as he had been left to herself. And I was sorry for the other wife too. I called at Malmaison a few days before she died. A charming woman. She would have gone to Elba, or to the devil with him. 20,000 people crowded down from Paris, to see her lying in state last week. Prince Regent, pity she didn't have a child by him, by God. King of Prussia, I don't think the other one's child is going to trouble us much. But I wish Bonaparte himself had been sent farther away. Prince Regent, some of our government wanted to pack him off to St. Helena, an island somewhere in the Atlantic, or Pacific, or Great South Sea. But they were overruled. 'Twould have been a surer game. Emperor of Russia, one hears strange stories of his saying and doings. Some of my people were telling me today that he says it is to Austria that he really owes his fall, and that he ought to have destroyed her when he had her in his power. Prince Regent, damme, sire, don't ye think he owes his fall to his ambition to humble England by rupture of the peace of Amiens, and trying to invade us, and wasting his strength against us in the peninsula? Emperor of Russia, I incline to think, with the greatest deference, that it was Moscow that broke him. King of Prussia, the rejection of my conditions, in the terms of peace at Prague, sires, was the turning point towards his downfall. Enter a box on the opposite side of the house the Princess of Wales, attended by Lady Charlotte Campbell, Sir W. Gell, and others. Louder applause now rings through the theater, drowning the sweet voice of the Grassinian Aristodemo. Lady Charlotte Campbell, it is meant for your Royal Highness. Princess of Wales, I don't think so, my dear. Punch's wife is nobody, when Punch himself is present. Lady Charlotte Campbell, I feel convinced that it is by their looking this way. Sir W. Gell, surely Mammy will acknowledge their affection? Otherwise we may be hissed. Princess of Wales, I know my business better than to take that morsel out of my husband's mouth. There you see he enjoys it. I cannot assume that it is meant for me unless they call my name. The Prince Regent rises and bows, the Tsar and the King of Prussia doing the same. Lady Charlotte Campbell, he and the others are bowing for you, ma'am. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.